The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And it's that time of the early morning that we look at affairs of business, economics, trade, and everything that is affecting our bread and butter. It's the 9th of March, 2026, and it's 10 minutes past the hour of 6. You are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. We are greeting you wherever you find yourself. Some of you, you are already at work. Some of you, you are going back home. Some of you, you are awake, and some of you are still sleeping. You are still thinking about what is that you have to do in the morning. It's always important to make sure that every day that you are waking up, you have a plan. Make sure that you have a plan. Even if you do not have a plan, make sure that you have a plan, because you must be able to make sure that that day become productive, because, you know, life will never wait for you. Time will never wait for you. And remember, but we are just a young man, maybe at the age of 10. We are just a young boy one day. But look at you. We are just a young lady who did not even know anything about life. But look at you now. You are aging. Look at yourself. Look at people around you. Are you happy where you are? Which gear do you need to put on? But what is necessary is that once you realize that there is no more time, it's a time that you also need to make sure that you use the time that you have wisely, so that you make the great out of that. And it's a Monday. There is a lot of things happening in the world. There is a lot of things happening in the world. And the very important thing that we are always indicating to you, that in the time that you find out that there is no motivation, the time that you find out that there is no motivation, you are the motivation, because things that stressed you when you were young, now they are nothing to you. You become so strong every day. And if you find out that there is no motivation, look at yourself and understand that you are also the motivation, and it's the only way that we'll be able to move forward. And to the economic movers, we must always be able to make sure that every discussion that we are bringing about should be connected to the future, should be connected to what we are eating, should be connected to what we are wearing, should be also connected to where we are going to be, especially looking into the future that you want. When you speak about the umbrella objective that we are running under, particularly when you speak about Vision 2030 and NDP 6, we must always be able to look at what we have on the table, and also, you know, understand what needs to be done. And today, the conversation will be around what is that that we have done so far. What is that that we have done so far? Especially looking at the conflict in the Middle East. We have indicated to you that this is not just an ordinary conflict. This is a conflict that is impacting everybody. It's a conflict that is not going to end now. I was reading a book by Stephanie M.C. Grinchy on the foundation of international relations in the weekend. Then I realized, to say, looking into this context, you understand that there is actually nothing new which is happening in the world that have never happened before. There is nothing new. And the narratives may have changed, but the human behaviors continue to be the same. The actors in international affairs continue to operate the same. It's about interest. And in the situation where interests conflict with international law, the countries always end up choosing their national interests. That's why, do not think the world is going to end. The world is not going to end. We are going to, there's going to be a lot of painful things happening. There might be hunger, there might be drought, there might be economic crisis, but what you need to know is that hegemonic power, and also countries have always been competing for resources, powers, and influence. That is why, if you look into the weekend, you'll be able to realize that one of the things which have sustained the war one of the things which have sustained the war in the Middle East is the fact that it's not only Iran who is a player there. It's not only the war against Iran. You'll be able to understand that there are other players also. You know, the world was shocked when Iran was hitting the radar system and the communication for USA. Then people realized that, no, wait a minute. I think there is a lot of guys involved here. That's why there is an accusation and there is indication to say Russia is also involved in sharing intelligence, particularly locating the military assets of the USA. But we realize that we have a long way to go, especially with this war. And the Strait of Hormuz still closed and nothing coming in, nothing coming out, and it's becoming worse every day. That is why today, that is a conversation that we are going to drive to say, apart from condemning, apart from calling for restraint, what is that that we have done? What backup plan that we have done? What alternative plan that we have come up with? Especially looking at the fact that the flood is coming. It's inevitable. It's undeniable. It has to come, especially with the impact of oil and gas. That is why we need to ask that question to say, do we have a strategy on how we are going to survive? Because Iranians, according to analysts, they have indicated that they can continue sustaining the war for the next 6 months. And looking at the nature of things, you realize to say there is no, quick war. There is no quick victory. Because looking at the asset, looking at Israel, looking at the U.S., you realize to say damage is happening both sides. And what is so interesting is that, if you look at somebody who fired 300 ballistic missiles, long-range ballistic missiles, and the act of destruction is seen, but the numbers in terms of casualty is not presented, you realize to say there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of also communication which is not coming out, especially from the other side, either is Israel or is US. But we are here to see how things are going to happen. Nobody wants war. Nobody is, happy with war. But that is a reality that we are living in. And we must also be able to understand that, as it has been stated by Thomas Hobbes, one of the writers of political science, indicated to say, no, human beings, the reason we came up with laws, not really because, we want to, but situation has forced us, because by nature, human beings, we are competitive. We are competitive by nature. And without laws, we will be, pressuring and killing each other toward our common interests. That's why what defines us from other animals is ability to say, no, wait a minute. It's only through the laws that we can be able to form the state, protecting the resources, and also give power to few that can also protect our rights. But in that process, you realize to say, everybody's competing. And the question should raise to say, when people are competing for their interest, what is our interest as a country? What is our interest as Namibia? Do we know our interest? What is that we are giving our people? And are we prioritizing Namibians first? Or we are just moving with the weather? But those are critical questions that we should ask ourselves and move forward. Just before we go to that conversation, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we also, firstly, looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa, then we'll be able to expand the conversation toward that zone to say, what is that we are having? What is our smaller businesses doing? What is our government doing? What is our local authority doing? And if we are waiting for the price of oil to increase, as it has already started in the US, even if somebody who has started the war, the price of oil has already started increasing. What is that we are doing? Are we still continue to chase our vendors in the situation that we are waiting for a crisis? Are we still going to continue, making it difficult to start a business in Namibia if the situation is still going to impact us? But those are some of the conversation. But remember, today we also have our e-paper is out. the Villager newspaper is out for today. And we'll be able also to look into that content. And there is a lot of also positive news, especially when it comes to farming there. So a lot of positive news, especially when it comes to food production in the context of Namibia. And you will be very interested, and you will not want to miss out, especially the Villager newspaper for today and any other day. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi. Dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. 22 minutes past the hour of 6, and you're listening to David Chombe. And looking into this context, looking at the continent of Africa, it was indicated that the Libyan authority has ordered the arrest of three suspects in the killing of Saif al-Islam Gaddafi. And it stated that there is an order which was given for the arrest of the suspects in connection with the assassination of the son of former leader of Libya, that is Muammar Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam Gaddafi. And the public prosecutor office said on Thursday, investigators said there are three suspects in Gaddafi's killing, claimed to know when, where the murder took place. No further details was given. And those are the developments in the northern part of Africa. To say there is an order for the suspects, though, of those who have killed Gaddafi to be killed. But interestingly, looking at what have happened is that Muammar Gaddafi died in 2011, toppled and killed during the NATO-backed uprising in 2011. And Saif al-Islam was captured. He was released 2017, and since then he lives in Zitan, despite sentenced to death by court in eastern Libya. However, since the civil war, Libya has been divided between rival governments. And look, this situation which is happening in Libya. Libya at one point was a stable country. Then NATO, backed by the US and also the civilian within Libya, they have staged not a coup, but it's what they call the revolt. And in that aspect, he wanted to what is called regime change. But after 2011, Libya being a center of African development, being one of the richest countries in terms of oil and gold production, being the only country which funded the campaign in France the net return ever. And it's one of the worst case scenario, especially when you speak about regime change, to say, how can you convince, how can you change a regime from the outside? And also, is this going to be sustainable now? At one point, Gaddafi was called a tyrant. But after his death, people realized to say, no, this guy, he was a dictator, however. He was a dictator with moral. He was just, not just a dictator, but he was building the country. He was giving student loans, I mean grants. He was giving free apartments. And that has stopped completely. And Libya, until now, you don't even hear who is the president of Libya. Maybe somebody should tell me. I was trying to do research to say who is really in charge of Libya. It's the same with Iraq. To say who is really in charge of Iraq. Have you ever seen president of Libya participating at an international conference, or just a function? Who is in charge? And you really ask yourself a question of saying, was it really necessary? Was it really necessary? And what is also interesting is that the people, they change with time. If you influence an individual, people, they change with time, because when they were burying the son of Gaddafi, who was killed last month, they were not only crying because of the son of Gaddafi. They were calling Gaddafi to come back, but that time is no more. It's finished. It's finito. And that is what happened when you do something that you have never looked into the future. That's why it's always very important, particularly Africans too, to realize, to say, are the actions that we are taking long-term beneficial to Africans, or we are only doing things because of emotions, because what have happened in Libya? It's one of the case study that will never be erased in history. One of the case study that will never be erased in history. Just because you are angry with somebody doesn't mean that you can destroy a person. But forgetting that that is the same person that is also giving you bread. Moving ahead. It is stated that International Monetary Fund is still expected to continue the conversation with Zambia, especially looking at the new package of assistance. And remember that when it comes to Zambia, and Zimbabwe, these are some of the countries that have suffered, especially when it comes to international financial institution. Zambia been one of the worst case study of International Monetary Fund Structural Adjustment Program. And the country that was having almost $4 billion debts in the early 1990s, particularly with the impact of Structural Adjustment Program with International Monetary Fund and other financial institutions. But it stated that the International Monetary Fund said that the talk with Zambia of a new loan program could start in April, but the lender ended that the agreement was only expected after elections in Southern African country in August. Lusaka, most recent program with the IMF, $1.7 billion facility agreed in 2022, ended in January. President Hakainde Hichilema, who is expected to seek the second term, has indicated interest in new package from Washington-based lender. Last year, Zambia concluded debts restructuring agreement with all its lenders, having become the first country to default its loan obligation in 2020. And the copper producer has also been able to attract new mining investment and shored up its forex reserves. The IMF expects Zambia economy to expand with 5.5 in 2026. That is the expectation of Zambian economy to expand with 5.5 in 2026. And looking at the Zimbabwe, expectation of economic growth is growing beyond that. And looking at Namibia, I'm always jealous, especially when I see Zimbabwe overtaking us in a lot of things, and also countries that at one point we were bringing to be ahead. But looking at the Zambia and Zimbabwe, looking at their economic prediction, you realize to say they are doing better than they have been. But this aspect, you understand that African countries, we are blocking the cut this side, and from the other side is also coming. Zambia have just rejected the health deal from the US, but in this aspect, IMF is here again, and we have to see what will happen. Let's look at ShopRite and come back.
ShopRite's price rounddown is here for 1 week only, where saving is winning. Save up to 40% on homeware, small appliances, outdoor and groceries. Like 24-litre Essentials mini oven, only 900 Namibian dollars. And 470 mils freehand coloured base can-shaped glass for only 15 Namibian dollars each. Offers valid until 15 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at continental affairs. And the question that we should always ask ourselves is that, are we going to win this economic game? Do you understand this international financial system? Are we going to win, or we are just going to continue how we have been? And are we really improving, or we just have numbers? And how do you connect economic growth with human development? Are we really moving somewhere, or we are just being defined by numbers? But that is Zambia. Zambia is expected to expand talks. And just remember, Zambia recently rejected the offer from the United States of America, especially when it comes to the health deal. The same with Zimbabwe. And looking into this context, you will be able to understand that one way or the other, you are around the international financial system. Is how you navigate through. So you navigate through, you know, last year, we were praising the Middle East countries. And you know how life turned around. We are praising the United Arab Emirates. We are praising Oman. We are praising Qatar. Which something that we really did not see it coming, which we really thought they have made it. And they have managed to pay it out, the U.S. companies, especially those who started with oil drilling. But little did we know that, you know, military bases were still in their countries. And countries are really angry now to say, these military bases, they become also costly in the time of trouble, because it's our infrastructures. And that has been proven, especially during the Iran and Israel war, where you realize that it's not only about the targeting of military bases of the U.S., but also the infrastructure. And countries and the citizens are really angry and in pain to say, what will happen after this war come to an end, and how this war is going to come to an end? Is it going to be a long war? Is it going to be a Pyrrhic victory? Because with a Pyrrhic victory is a war that you win with a lot of casualties, and it's going to be very difficult for you to recover. Because sometimes you win, but if you use a lot of resources in winning, you also be bleeding from that to say, is this going to be a Pyrrhic victory from the US, or is it going to be a total victory? And when that happened, are they still going to have bases around those countries? Because as you look at things now, there's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of destruction happening. But we are here to see, especially with the financial system, to say one way or the other, you are within the international arena. It's how you play the cards. It's not about good cards given to you. It's how you play the cards. And the question is that, is Namibia also taking notes, or we are just waiting to see what will happen? And coming to South Africa, our good neighboring country, South Africa. South Africa is still bettering the FMD in cattle after mass vaccination. Stated that South Africa has embarked on mass vaccination of cattle on Friday to stem on an outbreak of foot and mouth disease that threatened meat dairy, and livestock supplies and export. The outbreak, which started intensifying late last year, has rapidly spread across countries, livestock industry, and it has affected more than 297,000 cattle, resulted in over 120,000 animals being, killed. as farmers trying to contain the spreading of diseases. And looking into this case, you also need to understand that the outbreak of FMD does not only impact South Africa, but have also impacted, Botswana and also other part of the countries. And the outbreak threatened mass shortage of meat, job losses, and millions of dollars in lost revenue as countries including China and Zambia banned South Africa meat export. And the Minister of Agriculture, John Steenhuisen, on Friday launched the country's rollout of vaccine, with a million vaccine delivered from Turkey in the recent days. The interesting thing is that South Africa has also manufactured its own vaccine, especially for foot and mouth disease. And that has really impacted the trade of meat. And the good news is that not really to celebrate when other countries are in trouble. The good news is that up to now, Namibia is still foot and mouth disease free. And we are a dominant force in Southern Africa, especially when it comes to the trade of beef. And maybe it's also the time for our country to make sure that now that we have seen what has happened, why can't we continue strengthening the borders? Why can't we continue monitoring and controlling the supply of meat products, even beyond foot and mouth disease? Because if we continue to be like this, if we continue to have strong borders patrol, if we continue not just to have borders for the sake of borders, but to control the movement of people coming in and out of the country. Because up to now, you still have borders that are known, that people can still come in and leave the country without being noticed. What about animals? What about animals? What about those who can smuggle things inside the country? Maybe that this is the time to realize that once we have strong border control, then you can also stand out, particularly when it comes to trade in a situation like currently where countries are fighting FMD. Namibia, we are still strategically positioned and we are the great supplier to the international market. And also to see how we can use that as an advantage, especially in terms of trade, looking at the fact that our company, such as Meatco, has proven to be improving, has proven to continue increasing the yield, unlike things that we were hearing, like things that we are fearing and we have seen that happen in the past 2 years. But it seems like leadership has really taken its responsibility, and it should be thanked. And let's hope, as it has been stated by the Minister of Agriculture at annual general meeting of Meatco, to say it should not only be celebrated for now, but it should be a sustainable positive development within the Meatco, not only for the sake of data. There are things that are being presented, there are things that happen, and we have seen in some institution data are just presented for the sake of saying we are progressing, but really when it's coming to long term, it's another thing. And let's hope Meatco will continue to defend us, especially in the beef trade. And I'm not saying you must give the man a job, I'm just saying, why can't we have a permanent CEO that can be able to maintain that institution? Because really, in Namibia, we are a very small country, but having SOEs with acting leadership is really something that we should continue not to be celebrating, because a leadership that is not guaranteed for the future, leadership that is acting, does not only undermine the future, it's also making it difficult for the people within the institution to know where they are going. Because if you have a country that we are speaking more on oil and gas, and you have an acting MD, then until now, then you have a very big problem. that you need to work out before you deal with those issues. If you are speaking about green hydrogen and the future, and you're asking yourself a question, just a real question to say, do we have a full-time head of the program yet? And you should really be concerned about institutions and also the productivity. If you are speaking about diamond industry, even if our diamond is going down, and you look at the Namdi, and you're asking yourself a question, do we have a permanent CEO that is active? Then that should really be a concern, especially when it comes to where the country want to get into, because key strategic institution must have key strategic leaders that are permanent, that can make deals that they can also be able to be accounted for, especially moving forward. Before we come to the conversation for today, it's quite important also to look at what have happened in the, what have happened particularly recently. To say three former Democratic presidents, they spoke at Chicago church that that mourners pay final public tributes to the late Reverend Jesse Jackson, and it was also seen in the speech of Clinton, John Biden, and Barack Obama. And you're also able to see in their speech what I have said, especially Obama, to say that we live in the most difficult moment. And not only on that case, also speak about a little bit of the war. So speak about, and you have also seen the speech of Kamala Harris. It was an interesting speech. It's an interesting speech to say, guys, what is happening now in the world, I have predicted it. But what I have not predicted is to live without Jesse Jackson. And that is in line with the war which is happening. And really to say the war in Iran should really end. Because this is not a matter of celebrating, of to say who has higher firepower. Iran has proven itself. And the Israelis, the U.S., and also the Middle East must find a way to speak with each other, because realize to say the advancement in terms of technology will also be the worst destruction of human beings, because people, they are no more having guns in their hands. People are fighting with computers. You are fighting with computers, and the impact is a casualty to an ordinary people. And even if the records, they are coming on different notes, you understand that the human cost is a concern, especially in the world that we are moving in. And maybe also to ask about, in terms of Namibia, are the Namibians back? What about 100 Namibians who are stuck in the Middle East? Are they arrived? Are they assisted? And because it's not only the Namibians who are stuck in the Middle East, because I remember when the war started, the Minister of Defense for Italy was also stuck in the Middle East. And people are saying he went there for a private visit. When he was stuck in the Middle East, people are asking to say, how come the world is at war? And our Minister of Defense, especially the Italians, is outside the country. That's why they have to use a military jet to take him, to bring him back, because he's the most needed person in the world at that point in time, especially by Italy. Say, guys, please bring him back. And a lot of people are stuck. And we have also seen people are paying private jets up to $200,000 just to be taken home, especially when things become so tough, so unpredictable, so difficult. Then the question should always be to say, at home, what are we doing to prepare for the flood? When the flood is coming, do we have life-saving jackets? Or we are just saying the flood is 10 kilometers, is 8 kilometers, is coming, and we are drowning. Do we have a backup strategy? Are we bound by international agreements to trade with our neighbor, especially when it comes to oil, or it's just not a good oil for us, even if we have, you know, shortage, or we are still working on it. Do we have a backup plan in terms of food supply, and also in terms of maintaining the full operation of the economy? Because this will not be another COVID-19 situation. It's going to be another directly economic impacted situation, because once you cut the oil pipe, you don't only cut the logistics, but you also cut the human survivor and all other things. That's why it's always a question to say, have we really received a communication that is saying, this is the game plan, this is what we are going to do? Other countries, they have looked for alternative. Other countries are renegotiating. That's why you must always ask yourself a question to say, a well-known diplomat like Narendra Modi, why is he not taking side during this situation? When you realize that he's a very smart prime minister, because what he realized to do is that if I take side right now between the war which is happening, I may benefit as a country, but over 1 billion population that I'm leading, you realize to say it's going to suffer. And he's a very smart guy, because he realized to say that of who has a bigger population will suffer more, especially when it's coming to hunger, when it's coming to business disrupted. That's why with him, he's trading, he's busy trading, he's busy negotiating, trading with Russia, trading with the US, speaking with the Israelis, because it's not a good time to show power, especially where you have a bigger population to feed, where you have an economy to grow. Because sometimes you realize to say, sometimes cowardness, or not really to say cowardness, but the show of softness can also be needed, especially in a time of survival. Unlike only saying we are the great, we are the best. Because sometimes showing of strength is not really necessary, especially in the time of need. That's why you realize to say, sometimes Namibia foreign policy is working. Sometimes you realize to say, why we are moving all sides. But sometimes you realize to say, what option do we have? And what is the best option, especially if you want to survive in this world of unpredictability, in the world of, you know, unpredictability when it's coming to financial system, when it's coming to resources, when it's coming to other aspects, to say why countries that advocate so much about climate change put more money on climate change are the one who put more money again, or more than what they put on climate, put more money into, you know, the war. That is not only disrupting the environment, but destroying everything from human beings, properties, and also the environment. You don't know the amount of chemicals that are released in the air, especially if you fire more than 2,000 ballistic missiles, and not only ballistic missiles, but you also have interceptors in the air. Then you have jets, that are in the air 24 hours. Then you also have warships in the Middle East, and countries such as Namibia. How are we going to react on that? What is our backup plan? Either in terms of the economy, in terms of logistics, and in terms of trade alliance also, to say what will happen moving forward. So for now, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Remember, the Villager newspaper for today is out, and make time so that you'll be able to get content and context of what is happening in the country, what is happening in terms of development, in terms of food security, in terms of policies, and what is the way forward. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi. Dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oija mwiri nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
The Eye. The Eye. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 51 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are at a time where, we are entering the second week of Middle East War. We are entering the second week of the war in the Middle East. Particularly that started on the 28th. Especially 28th of, or the end of February, especially that led to the killing of the leader of Iranian supreme leader. It led to the killing of Iranian supreme leader, this Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and also top five military generals, intelligence officers, and also the families. But looking at that context, you realize to say it's quite a different war compared to Russian-Ukraine war, compared to the war in DRC, compared to conflict in Sudan. To say it's not only happening in the Gulf state, it's happening in the center of global economy. It's happening at the center of global economy, particularly where you have the Gulf, which contains of between 20 to 30% of oil reserves in the world, and Iran controlling the Strait of Hormuz, and Iran being surrounded by the richest countries in the world, has also cost not only Dubai, not only Oman, not only Saudi Arabia, not only United Arab Emirates or Qatar, but has cost the world infrastructure. It has disrupted the airlines, it has disrupted the global logistics, and countries are involved, China, Russia. They are also saying, no, we cannot, it's not going to happen. And we'll see what will happen moving forward, particularly in the context where the bombardment of Israel, the bombardment of Iran, and the Iran bombing also the neighbors have caused not only them, their citizens, but also caused panic in the world, where you see the economic impact also in the USA. If you look at the Wall Street, if you look at the economic impact of the skyrocketing of you know, the demand of oil is over 4% already. And not only happening in the Middle East, you realize to say Namibia, majority of our oil is coming from the Middle East. Either we buy from South Africa, who is taking from the Middle East, or we take from the Middle East straight. And understand that economists have been indicating to us, trade analysts have been indicating to us, it's undeniable, it's inevitable that the price of oil will increase. Even if the price of oil did not increase, the price of commodity would definitely be impacted, because the center of logistics is oil and gas. And remember that when we speak about oil and gas, we are not only speaking about oil and gas to be used for transportation in terms of vehicles, because people, they think oil and gas is only used for vehicles. But remember that there is a lot of things that you need to use. Speak about machines. Speak about machines. You speak about boats, ships, trains, and the whole logistics. You realize to say that will definitely impact Namibia. Now, let us look at what Namibia has done, especially after the conflict of the Middle East. What have happened is that so far, the country did not pronounce a strategy, an economic strategy, on how we are going to survive, apart from condemning, which is part of a necessity of international position to say, when these two guys are fighting, where are you standing, Namibia? Then Namibia stated that we are standing with international law. We are standing with countries solving disputes with peaceful means, and standing on our position that we have been standing before. Even with Palestine, we stand on that position. Even with other countries, even with Western Sahara, that is the position that Namibia has taken. But when it comes to economic strategy on how we are going to react to that, I've seen a lot of journalists have been asking to say, is there any pronunciation from BON, especially regarding what is happening in the Middle East? Maybe it's yet to come. Maybe it's yet to come, especially what's happened with the trade in the Middle East, and also the trade of the future. Because often when you have Russia and the Ukraine war, there has always been a pronunciation. When there is COVID-19, there has always been a strategy to say, in this situation, businesses will be also subsidized, especially during COVID-19. There has always been that package. When coming to Texas, there has always been that relief. But when it's coming to when the flood is coming, which is going to be a very long, it's going to be a very long 6 months or so, because it seems like up to now, there is no definite victory from Israel, from Iran, from the U.S. Seems like it's a tit for tat. Seems like, even if the satellite of the network of Iran is cut down, the Chinese and the Russians, they provide the technical know-how. That's why the U.S., the other time, they are saying they are still investigating about who is giving these guys intelligence on where their military assets are. Because the last time people have checked is that the biggest warship, Abraham Lincoln, some are saying is hit. Some information are saying is still intact. And the other information are saying it's moved from the cross range due to the continuation of this war. And it seems like the war is not going to end. Because just recently, Mojab Khamenei, the son of Ayatollah Khamenei, or the son of the late Ayatollah, was elected to succeed his father as a supreme leader. And it's elected at a difficult moment where the price of oil continues increasing globally. And in that aspect, the 56-year-old, just 1 hour after he was elected, there have been, I don't know if it's a baptism of fire is a rotation. They've been released of, ballistic missiles, and people have seen the sky of Israel there with a lot of what is called the double munitions. And seems like he came to power not for peace, but to continue with the fight. And there is a long way to go, especially moving from this. So let's move forward.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Yeah, we are moving forward. Say after the assembly of experts have appointed Syed Mujaba Khamenei. See, it seems like the war has just continued. But there is also a hope, as the assembly of experts are also indicating that apart from continuation of war, and continue with the legacy of the order which has been stated, there is also a hope for economic condition, improving of economic condition, and achieving of a greater calm and prosperity, and that has been indicated, especially from the secretary of Iranian Supreme National Security Council, that is Ali Lalijani. And really, you know, when it comes to leadership, especially in the time of war, I think flexibility matters, because if you continue without an open for talking, it won't be a difference, because people need flexibility too. Because people are saying something they thought it was going to be at least somebody that can be negotiated with, because what is stated now is that the Iranians saying even if they are going to negotiate, they are not going to negotiate with Israel and the US. But it seems like there is a hope for the recovery, because you always need not always to have an iron fist, but you always need somebody who you can speak to, you can negotiate with. Because if you call the hardliner, as it has been stated, it's going to take a very long war, especially looking into that aspect, because as you be able to realize that the war in Russia and Ukraine, people thought it would end. But where are we now? Started 2022. Where are we now? We are in 2026. And we are moving into 2027 soon. And you see that if this has continued, it will change the whole global financial system, it will change the whole global economic system. Then the question should always be to say, Namibia, what are we doing? So apart from cautiousness, apart from the release of the communique from the Ministry of International Relations and the Trade, especially regarding the war, the condemnation of war, and also calling for restraint and also respect of United Nations Charter, there has also been communication from the embassy in Cairo, especially coordinating of, Namibian citizens in the Middle East, and also to give them guidance and assistance, especially in the time of conflict. However, in terms of economic game plan, we are still yet to see what do we have. What are we saying about our domestic businesses? What are we saying about our trade? Are we diversifying the trade? Where are we going to eat if the neighbor who was giving us salt is burning. Where are we going to eat if our breadwinner, Oman, Saudi Arabia, they are still struggling even to sustain themselves. And it will be a matter of time. Are we going to buy from Venezuela? Are we going to buy from Venezuela? Or we are going to buy from Nigeria? Are we going to buy from Sudan? Or we are going to the neighbor? Because I've seen the other time Tate Sagaria saying any attempt from Gungura will be met with the full wrath of the law. But we are not saying we should go Gungura away. Let us formalize things and let us trade with our neighbor. Let us formalize things. If Zambia was able to invest in Lobito refinery, why can't we invest in the future of the oil in Angola? Why can't we look for other options instead of just saying? When it comes to that, I've seen Commander Vashana say, no, if you are seen with Ngungura, the law will take its course and there will be no tolerance of that aspect, because people, they are predicting to say, when things become tough, we will just go to the corner and get our vehicles filled. But let us not go behind closed doors. Why can't we go to the table and sit and straight to say, why can't we trade? Why can't we diversify? For a very long time that we've been our neighbors, but you have never appeared in our top five trade import or export. Because remember, Angola is the richest country. Zambia, Botswana, they are richest countries in terms of natural resources. They are trading partners. But if you look at the top five trade import and export, you realize to say none of these neighbors are within those top five of what we trade with. Then you also ask a question to say, have we really changed our trading game plan? If we can, we can praise our South African trading partner. And you ask yourself a question to say, is our economic link to South Africa really should be praised because of the post-1994 trading, or should be, I mean, post-1994 government, or is linked to us trading with our former colonizer, who realized to say, even if I'm gone, I have to keep this, without denying the effectiveness and also the productivity that came from that trade. Have we ever thought of diversifying our economy beyond SACO? Have we ever thought of diversifying our economy beyond how things are right now? Because it's showing the weak link in our system, and it has been shown before, especially with diamond. It is going to be shown with oil and gas, and undeniable with any changes in uranium. It will also be shown with us, because in terms of diversifying key industries, we keep operating on the same way. But we have to see how things will be able to happen moving forward. You can engage us at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. And you know, interestingly, one of the things that we do not speak out is that one of the reasons why people are fighting in the Middle East, among other reasons, one of the stated reasons is uranium enrichment. It's uranium enrichment. Then you understand how important is uranium, how dangerous is uranium, how economical important, what is the economic importance of uranium. Then if superpowers are fighting for uranium enrichment, if superpowers are fighting for, you know, not allowing another person to have uranium enrichment, then you understand the importance of that commodity. When the people are fighting, you realize that you have a very important commodity in the world. And why can't you use that commodity for your own good too, instead of selling it to the world? Why can't you use it for your own good too? To say, when people are fighting each other with drones, at the center of that is the scientific aspect of uranium enrichment. To say, if you reach a certain level, you become dangerous. But why can't we use our uranium for our own good too, especially moving forward? Good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm well.
Good. Thank you very much for your platform.
Ah, it's always.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes we miss it, my friends. You come to the last.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be hectic.
Oh, okay.
Before we had the big mic. Money, ma. So now, but everybody has got their legitimate right.
No, before you go, I want to ask one question. You are always outside, right? Are you always jogging? What?
No, I'm done.
Eh? No, it's not a bad thing. I'm just asking. Every time you it sounds like you're outside.
Yeah, no, but I have just concluded the training.
No, it's a very good thing, and we should encourage more people to do that. It's really a very good thing.
Yeah, but you see, I don't know. You know, it requires some higher discipline.
Definitely.
And that kind of discipline and the proper schedule. For us, we don't have secretaries.
Yeah.
We are able to create a tremendous structure.
You are your own motivation.
So now, my contribution was to that, yes, those people, they have got the legitimate right and the freedom to their reaching annual and all these other things. Mm. So now I understand also your concept on this being flexibility.
Mm.
I was also listening to the, you know, issues of that nature, whether it comes to the conflict in Middle East and all these things. So for us, President Ramaphosa has even offered some kind of your assistance in terms of negotiation.
Mm.
And also looking at, I understand the international law, like you say, people, they proceed. But the interests of whoever precedes the international law, which I disagree with. So there's no way, because unless you just want to be bullying your way through, you understand?
Mm.
And dominate and create chaos and all this confusion. So now if it does not apply.
International law is not operating. Have you heard from the Secretary of War in the U.S. who said that we are going to win. We don't care whether international laws or not, we are going to win.
That has been their culture. It's not a new thing.
Yeah. And you can also understand that international institutions, those who are supposed to be very strong when it comes to international institutions are the ones who are not following the laws. Because if you have a strong USA who is maybe part of ISIS, ICC, and also UN, then once one country is not behaving, we'll come and pick you up. Because you see, a person like Maduro was not supposed to be tried in the US, was supposed to be taken to International Court of Justice if that was the case.
Namibia and other countries have been calling, many countries have been calling for some of those international institutions or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
For some serious reform.
Yeah.
And those who have got the veto, the veto power, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
They do that. But there are other countries who are also part of some of those things. From those institutions, I believe, who are also calling for discrimination, calling for those genocide, Palestine, calling for now the Board of Peace. Which one is this? The Board of Peace that they are
seeing? No, you know, the board. Every member of the Board of Peace now is the one who is in Iran. I'm asking myself, why is it? Is this a Board of Peace or a Board of War?
So what I'm saying is that the flexibility as opposed to rigid.
Yeah.
And this is what we are witnessing now.
Mm.
So these are, I don't know whether they are rigid, they are rules and laws, rigid in their nature.
Yeah.
Or they are just rigid. They become so dictatorship. You were talking about dictatorship when you are talking about this thing. Iraq and Sudan and all these things. And we have seen, and those are painful kind of experience. So this is what the, I don't know, maybe that their aim is to see Africa disintegrating all the time in the world. Now we are seeing the bombing that are still continuing and all these things. Oh, they want to keep on assassinating our people.
The question is that, the question that we should also ask ourselves is that, when we have been losing our leaders and we end up crying after all, have we ever spoke about uniting ourselves? Because one thing that what you see in Africa is that people, we can say, no, somebody from outside want to come and divide us, but are you united at home?
Yes, even
in your village, you want United States of Africa, but even in your village, you are already fighting.
How
are we going to be united if you cannot even accommodate your neighbors?
Mm-hmm. Even the brothers and sisters from diaspora, they are also willing to come and assist in terms of development and economic growth.
No, people, yes, some of them, but you find some people in the diaspora, they don't even want to be associated as Africans.
Yeah, I understand that mentality.
You know, I was
but the issue is that it's a divided rule. So the divided rule that preoccupy our minds. So it's true. You are right.
Yeah.
We do complain that yes, the international influence and things like that, interference. This is just what you can see now, even here.
Yeah.
So, but even closer to us, you have seen all those kind of things.
Mm.
We don't need to really think far from our home. So the influence and how they frustrated.
You know,
into the criminal justice system.
You know what I want us to discuss today.
Yeah.
When we
mouth disease.
No. When we spoke about the war and all these things, we described them the best rockets and all these things. What are we eating at home? Have we come up with a formula on how we are going to survive this storm, which is inevitable, which is undeniable, it's coming.
I believe they might also look at the subsidized activities and things like that. We're talking about packages that were there. Maybe this time around, they will be more responsive to maybe the fuel and shortage of food. And also, perhaps for us, we should also take up those the opportunity. So we tend those issues that you're talking about, the trading partnership and all this for Angola and the things like that. And I think I've heard, I've seen, witnessed a lot of bilateral meeting taking place with Angola. The last time I saw Menetumbo, the Mbuba was also there. And they were also talking, even this petroleum. So I think they are just working out proper mechanism. Especially on the legal issues.
What took us so long to still looking at proper mechanism? Have you looked at how many?
It's too long. Maybe this was maybe it's not too long. Those discussions and all these things I've seen that they are getting into serious agreement.
No.
Maybe also for Angola.
No,
disintegrate from that. Not really to.
No, we must not always have an excuse when we delay something. We must just accept it.
I'm just saying.
It's the same with Nigerian. To say we have been in partnership with this country for a very long time, but our trade was too low. Then you cannot even see it in our trade balance. With Angola is the same. Angola is our neighbor. We were supposed to start from there. Is it not even our neighbor? It's our brother.
Last week I heard Nigeria entering in trade partnership with Namibia. And
We have been there for a very long time with Nigeria. We trade only few things, cosmetics. Yes, it's good. Not a lot of things.
So it's good that you are highlighting this opportunity. So where there are challenges, obviously you know already that there are opportunities. And sometimes they are also the funding. And the structures might also be existing. Maybe for us to align our logistic and transportation.
Now you are talking.
So once we integrate that system, how our oil coming from Nigeria and trade and coming into refinery and all these other things. Like I said, everyone has got the very right to enrich in some of those things, as long as not for mass destruction, for people's destruction. But what we see now here, the intention and all these other things, that's why even the Chinese are saying, oh, these people, they also have the right to develop their thing, their country. You understand? And all these things, because you are adamant to understand and become so arrogant a bit. Sorry for that word.
Okay.
So, but then for our mythical, that's the last point. Now our mythical is really to, like you have mentioned, South Africa is doing good, and we are also should be following suit, because there's no way we can be left out. So because of that partnership and brotherhood. For Angola, need to open our borders also.
Are you saying they must give the guy a job, or we must get another one?
Which one?
The acting CEO.
Ah, that one, you know, is his strategy. When he came to reform NBC sometimes back, and then he went outside there, how he was really making sure that our representatives, our ambassadors and things like that, they really become the mirror of making sure that wherever they are, they sell, not to sell the resources like people say, you market the country and make sure that the investors are coming here to the periphery areas where we need most agriculture. Look at the rain. And the maize, you know, farmers and things like that. And the more young ones who go to that, I think I must apply for that fund also.
Okay.
So that maybe we can contribute to the development of some of this.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right, 21 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8. And we are speaking about what have we done at home, what is our internal strategy to survive, and not only to survive, but also not to be bothered too much about external affairs so that we can develop our country. And one of the callers, Lazarus, always likes saying we have an economy to build, we have a nation to field, to feed, and the country to protect, and we must not forget about that. And to say, when the guy who was supplying us with salt is in trouble, can we only also say that we are going to have shortage of salt in the next 2 weeks, in the next 1 week, and now we are in trouble? Or we can come up with a mechanism to say, the game have changed. The international laws are no more, followed as we have expected. The superpowers are also looking at what they can do best to secure their interest. And smaller nations, sometimes they find themselves on their own. But in terms of trade, we must be honest with ourselves to say, it's not only about trading and buying, it's also about looking at ourselves. Because if the logistic become so expensive, if the state of Hormuz, by God's sake, maybe in the next 6 months open, then understand also that the price of, among other commodities, toothpicks that we are buying in foreign currency, if you are buying a toothpick for $20, you will buy it at $100, one toothpick for $100, then you understand that you will spend more of things that you could have changed. But really, why can't we look around and also see where we can invest in things that we can really do, especially smaller things that we can really do, so that we can keep money circulating at home, because the flood is coming and it's inevitable. And remember that in the class of 54 African countries, we are not in the top 10 when it comes to economic growth and prediction. When it comes to economic growth and prediction, if you're in class, will be the backbenchers. And will be the backbenchers if it comes to economic growth prediction, because we are still with 3% economic growth prediction, even though last year we were at 2.8-2.9% there. Economic growth. And remember that with this economy, you can't expand. With this economy, you can't sustain what you have. You need to, you can't feed your own people with this economic growth, because the prediction of practicality of NDP 6 being realized is that the economy was supposed to grow at 6.6 or 7%. And that is the only economy that can be able to absorb the number of people that want opportunities, the number of people that can get employment. But when are we going to be at 7% economic growth, 6% economic growth, if we are not even at the half of our prediction of economic growth? Then you have to realize that there is a lot of things that we need to do, among others. And one of them will be also in the Villager newspaper, among others, is doing what we say, and also policy coherence. And it's undeniable that when it's coming to policy analysts in Namibia, when it's coming to policy analysis in Namibia, we have a very big problem, because the draft of the policy and the implementer, they always speak a different language. I remember the other time when Tate Sankwasa was saying, no, you can't, you cannot, it's not right to have a master's degree holder being supervised by somebody who is a grade 10 holder, not undermining qualification. Imagine you have a CEO who come from business school, then the counselor just come from pure politics with only a certificate in local government, or maybe a diploma, or maybe just grade 10 certificate. These people, they are not going to understand the budget. They are not going to understand the complication of issues. That's why sometimes you, when people do not like advice, you can really find somebody who just a grade 10 graduate, and the person is really good. The person is very good to understand things, but it's few of them. It's few of them. Unless that person have really deep experience. That's why things are not moving. We have policy incoherence, and difficulty in dealing with issues, particularly when you're aligning policies. You know, I was really, really shocked, especially when I attended Namibia National Anti-Corruption Strategic Review, where an academician stood up and gave a presentation and indicating to say she was also shocked about stakeholders do not know their duties. Then in my heart, I wanted to say it's not the first time, but I was just very quiet. I wanted to say I'm not surprised, but you get shocked when somebody stood up and saying, when we were reviewing this strategy, we realized to say that even directors who were delegating their juniors were not briefed. People came to meetings of stakeholders engagement asking their roles. You have a national strategy, then you don't have a budget. You have two strategies that need to be funded by 0.1% of national budget. Then you understand that being a DG of Anti-Corruption Commission, you need to be very tough. And you also need to have a high level of skills, because you get frustrated, honestly. And I wish the next person will really be able to learn more, because it's tough out there. It's tough to run a budget of 0% of national economy. But yeah, we have to see. But do we have policies that can be able to save us even during this time of crisis? Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
I'm okay.
What is your contribution today?
Yeah, well, my contribution is concerning about our country.
Mm.
We are not even, things are happening in the world which are also affecting us negatively.
Mm.
But when you see to listen to our leaders, they are not even serious with what we are. Yeah, most especially, I don't know when it comes to economy, economic growth. Since we come into power, you did not even feel the economic growth of Namibia. What are we doing? And then even to listen even to the radio, other media, when you won't even find any practical about economic
growth. Just hold on. Stay on the line.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
ShopRite's price round down is here for 1 week only, where saving is winning. Save up to 40% on homeware, small appliances, outdoor and groceries. Like 20 liter essentials black or white manual microwave oven, only 800 Namibian dollars each. And 12 piece spring flower or finesse white dinner set for only 199 Namibian dollars per set. Offers valid until 15 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Yeah, let's continue. You were saying?
Yeah, you see, since you came into power, maybe our GDP, our it's just standing, maybe it's 12 billion there. It won't even go 14, it's 18 or 8, well, I mean 18 or 20 growth a day. But we are still, I don't know how, what really are we?
what are we doing?
What are we doing? We are not okay. Or is it because of what? I don't know.
Yeah, I think one of the things maybe that it's not entirely the whole economic observation. One of the things which I have seen when you look, for example, what the Bank of Namibia is talking and what is being done, you realize to say they have a direction on where the economy is going, but there is no practical doing of things. Remember, there was a certain financial institution in Namibia which was making in average 5 million in a day in terms of profit in Namibia. Then few money is given to private sector to expand because the government alone cannot create jobs. That one is already indicated to say we have a bloated public sector. The government cannot create a job. It's not even the job of the government to create a job. It was supposed to work in the private sector, but there is less money given to these guys to make more, to make either more money or to create jobs. Even what we do at home, do you know that the toothpicks that you use in the restaurants, they are coming from China and outside the world, outside the country. The whole toothpick. And you are not buying them in Namibian dollars, you are buying them in US dollars.
That's what I think. The problem, I don't know, what we don't have here, to make even a toothpick, is because of the money we don't have to maybe to buy the machine, or is he what, really the raw material to make a toothpick, or what is really wrong with us?
I think it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing that you come to that question. Maybe expert will come and also answer to that, to say, who is bounding us not to do other things? Ask yourself a question. Why are you not trading with Angola? Angolan oil not really good? Or somebody say you can only trade with me. Other than that, we are not going to assist you in other things.
I don't know, no matter we say it's a reason of saying, no, the oil is not good. What is history? Maybe in Angola, because of that bad oil, which we are having reason. Because you said this is not good oil. Because maybe cars in Angola are burning. Or what is really happening?
There are no cars in Angola, maybe.
There's no car there. I don't understand. Maybe always they are burning there. Yo, what is really wrong?
No, it's...
And the people... Also, maybe the nation is there. They will not breathe. Because the air is dirty. What's wrong with this?
No, I think, you know, it's a smart way when you ask those questions. When you ask those questions, we'll come to the point of asking ourselves to say also, because if you come, those are very critical questions that you bring about to say, are there no movements? Are there no movements? Who's transporting us when you go to Angola? Are we not, who is transporting us when you go to Angola? Are there no cars? There are even more cars in Angola than maybe 20 times than cars in Namibia.
Yeah,
Yeah.
That's what also we are talking about, the food and mass disease. We can't be divided in two, two parties.
Yeah.
What this common arend and then food and mass disease. But people are not dying from food and mass disease to the other side.
Where do you think most of the weddings are happening? It's on the other side of the red line, and people are going there to enjoy weddings.
Exactly. They are not. What is the history of food and mass disease to the north? We had the history that people did. One of the year they were dead, you know, because of that.
Mm.
I don't know. Really, these people, you won't understand when you think. I don't know. Where are we really? Are we sleeping, dreaming, or what? I don't know. Are we dreaming of the future of our country, or just like
I think there is still hope. You know, when you ask those questions, it's a good thing that you bring about those questions to say, why are we doing what we do not want? Why do we say one thing and we completely do opposite of the other thing? Let me give you an example. There was a time I have attended an event where people were speaking about informal sector to say informal sector is a real economy. We must support informal sector and all these things. You know, after we are done just with that event, there is this, it's not lunch, man. It's just a soft breakfast. I don't know how to put it there. Then we started eating. I'm asking myself, how many of this food were served by people from informal sector? None, nothing. How many? You say one thing to say, let's support this, but you are not even showing it. Even your catering is not from there. Why can't you even pretend? You speak about let us support growth at home strategy, but the clothes that you are wearing are not made in Namibia. But we still have a long way to go.
Really, even to agriculture. When we talk about agriculture, every budget, every year's budget, agriculture is getting a small amount of food. But we are still shorting food. We are importing food. We are importing everything, cooking oil, and even very very simple. Flour for just for maize or flour. We are importing.
With our Mitko and but there is hope. If you look at the Villager newspaper today, you will see that there are still people who are trying, and there are still people who are improving. But it's a very long journey. I'm telling you, it's very long.
We don't want to support our subsistence, what this pharmacy, small scale pharmacy to grow even just at home. We don't want. There we put a lot of barriers so that they do not succeed to get even a little amount of money from the government to do their garden at home. No.
Okay, if you have one word to the Minister of Agriculture, what would be that? If you are given an opportunity to advise, because it's also us citizens who are advising the government at some point. What is your best advice? Just two words to the Minister of Agriculture. Maybe she can do one or two things.
She must even start just supporting this small scale farmers from constituency, from village there, and then she should do something. Try their level best even to make what a survey at the village there, which farmers is interested in to produce is enough food for his or his what his people and for sales, and then they try to support, like starting small, and then from there they grow from there.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Who are you talking to?
Old callers.
Sorry man, it has been a long, but thank you, Eriazo. Thank you, Eriazo. Your voice changed when and it has been a long, but thank you very much for that contribution, because if you come to the question of why are these things like this, then your eyes are opening. When you are just saying things are going to be well, but you don't know what formula are you using, then you are still behind. Because Elias's eyes are open when he says, why are things the way they are? Why do we spend less on agriculture? Why do we take money back to treasury if we have a lot of problems? And really, I don't want to say people must be punished for taking money. Why do you even have, you were supposed to ask for more money. Why do you have a ministry taking money back to treasury? Money not spent in Namibia at this point in time. That is not, it's not only an insult to the Namibian people. It's really showing that we are not really serious. Budget and over budget so that you can get more money to make projects. Not really to say over budget for the sake of wasting money. But even when you look at our current budget, a rough calculation, 104 billion. A rough calculation of that. The money is still not enough to deal with our own problems. Considering our economic growth, considering what is happening around the world, why should somebody take the money back to treasury at this point in time? And people really must be really dealt with. You can't take money back to treasury, especially in the time where we are in need. It's not correct. It's not right at all. It's not practical, and it should not happen, because this is a time that the Namibian people really need assistance. The president gave a direction to say, this is where the country is going. Do not praise me. Do what is right for the Namibian people. Offend me even. Somebody offered to be offended so that Namibia can be good, but we are not doing anything. But yeah, let's look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Good morning, Chum.
Yes, how are you?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm good.
Tantinga bita nkaria feni. Ko ambo ndem kaliya mapungu na makunde kwi.
Until when?
Ovambo has been there in existence ever since Namibia was found.
Yeah, tukarike mara. It's only for a
season. What were we eating at that time?
But it's only for a season. Who is going to feed us at our high school, the hostels?
Are there no schools in the north?
Well, they are going to be fed how? Yeah. Because we depend more on things from outside. So what is happening with what is your view on this war? Is it going to take long, as people are predicting? Oh, what is your view on it?
It is going to be long, and the USA is going to come out very much limping. And I think after the war, things might turn out good. Sugar has been talking about that perhaps maybe we can buy oil from Angola or Nigeria or something like that.
Mm.
Is it allowed?
Who allows it if we are in charge of our trade policy?
There is a world-based order.
Yeah,
you don't know that.
I know about that, but people have navigated through
it. Like you guys were talking about, when you're talking about, why don't we just even buy oil from Angola?
Yeah.
You can't buy oil from Angola. Because the oil companies that you have here belong to Europe.
Mm.
Do you understand that?
I hear you.
They belong to Europe, and when you buy oils, you have to buy from the Persian Gulf, where the Europeans companies yet again have stakes there. And that is how the supply chain is set up. These are the things that we have to understand. So the government can come and tell you, no, we cannot buy from it. But they will not tell you what is the reason. That's why you find somebody's have money and set up and build a service stations. And then that services must be given a license where you are, who is going to supply you. Is it Total? Is it Energy? Is it Shell? Where do these companies belong to?
Mm.
These are just franchises.
Yeah, I understand that. And you want to tell me that we are not in charge of our trade policy. We cannot decide, even when you are in trouble, even when we are buying oil of maybe $200 per liter. You think we are just going to be based on that base order, mm-hmm. as you stated?
On the basis of your questions, you think you can just end up and go and buy oil from Angola?
No,
you get consequences.
We have to believe
that but, is but, how
but what is the possibility of changing things? Just hold on.
Yeah.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipaketi. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia oshipu nengono lando kashako oko KG mwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilo ngwashishe ndeto esemeso shicha instant totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano e mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Mills.
So you want to tell me that you cannot advise those who are in charge to find a better way of diversifying the trade of oil?
You think they don't know? They just adhere to the system, I mean to the law. Oh, they know already.
They want to keep things how they are. I believe you 50%, but I think there are still people who want what is good for Namibia. Is that not so?
Look, you need to understand that the oils, when you buy oils, you buy oils using the USA dollar.
I understand.
So first you go and buy the USA dollar.
Yeah.
And then you buy your oil.
Mm.
That is how it is.
Mm.
And let me give you an example.
Yeah.
When the war of Ukraine and Russia broke out.
Yeah.
And then the Westerners collectively they sanctioned Russia.
Yeah.
Biden's government was a little bit smart.
Yeah.
They realized that if they completely sanction the Russian oil,
mm-hmm.
then the price is going to raise in, it's going to go up in because the Persian Gulf might not be able to supply each and everybody.
Yeah.
But normally what they do is that they tell the Persian Gulf countries to flood the world with the oil so that the oil can be cheaper. Yeah, but now what they did, they didn't want it that, but they just allowed India and China to buy the oils from Russia.
Yeah.
But on a very discounted price. So the Indians and the Russians, the Indians and the Chinese benefited on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now when Trump comes, Trump sanctioned the Russian, told the Indians not to buy. The Indian didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump went and then confiscate the Venezuela's oil, they told the Indians, because the Indians, they regard them as their allies. And you know, with the policies of the Americans, if you are their allies, then you have to do whatever they have to do, because that is one of the Henry Kissinger's words. So they told the Indians, look, you can no longer buy from Russia. You must buy from us now, the stolen oils of Venezuela.
But
now when the war comes, the Americans want to keep that oil in their country so that they can subsidize the price. They can no longer afford to pay India.
To
give India. So they told India, look, India, you can now go back to the Russian and buy oil.
And then
the Russians say, no, we are no longer going to give you on a discounted prices like we used to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when you went, you did not even told us. Mm-hmm. So that is what is happening now. The oil itself is in the hand of the Americans. This is where we used to tell people, like, don't go around, don't get convinced or carried away when people are saying this green hydrogen is going to be one of the most viable energies in the world.
Mm.
People are lying to you. While the USAs are out there confronting countries with oils. And even right now, they have even confession saying, "No, what we wanted or what we want is to take the oils from what? From the what? What is this? From the Iranians." And then make exactly the same way that happens in Venezuela, because what they want to keep that standard, say being a reserve currencies or the world reserve currency, because each and every country need USA dollar in order to do your trading.
So
and that is what gives him the right to print money. Whenever they want, they print money to buy powers in various countries when they want country to cite them or to carry out COVID CIA operations and all those things.
Mm.
That is a huge advantage. Now, if they lose there, then everybody is going to be on his own. We can now trade in our own currencies like the Iranians and the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chinese are doing, and also the Indians. But the Indians,
why Modi is trading up and down where people are fighting? Why is not taking signs? I'm also concerned.
Modi is also appearing. They are also appearing in that Epstein files.
Oh.
And Modi, and Modi is. Modi is kind of
Is he not a good diplomat? I think he's a negotiator. He's always at the center.
I thought so, but when I went deep and try and find out exactly, because he is also, the Israelis are saying now. They kind of want to move away from the USA and come to India, because they regard Indians, because the Modis, they are also in that beliefs of that Christian the Zionist Christianity. Those with the belief that the whole world belong to them and they don't believe in God. So they are Jews. You know, even here, Jews, it's not only white people. Jews, it's also black people, Indians, and then also Arabians and Islamics and all those things. But there is this of the Zionist.
I also want you to educate me. Are we not also in that line? Our beliefs are not linked to that, especially our Christianity beliefs.
We are confused. we are confused. We throw the way we if you want to study these things, you go back to the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Once you go to the Roman Empire, that is when you find out the whole initiative of Christianity. It was never about God. It was about power and control. And this is where you have all the rebellion churches that comes out, the Anglicans, the Evangelicans, and all. They are all rebellions. It's like having SWAPO as a liberational movement. And then out of SWAPO comes IPC, AR, comes the movement or whatever those things, and all those things. That is how it is. So now that is political. Now for there, people say the Roman Empire has declined or has dissolved. It's not, because the Roman Empire has just dissolved in the Vatican.
Still standing.
In the Vatican, that is where the popes, all those peoples live. And look at those peoples. They are very rich. They are the owners of the bank. They run all the financial system. And you know, this system that they used to colonize us or to extract the wealth from our country,
yeah.
They did not close it because our churches makes a lot of money. And where does that money go? Those monies goes to their church, to the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like the British Empire. The British Empire have got a system that they use. It did not dissolve. They keep the system within. And then they have the Americans to protect the system.
Just in one word, we should stop speaking about oil trade. Or what can we do? Just in one word, because we don't have time. What is the best option to do? Because the flood is coming. Oil price will rise maybe on Friday, maybe next week. But
you can
definitely come. What can we do?
You can. You know, last time what I said, what I told you,
mm-hmm.
I am somebody who's has been advocating for those things, but it seems like for the two infrastructure that I always talk about, but
yeah.
We are very late. There is nothing that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't go to Angola.
No,
it's already clear. No, you can't. Unless you let people to go there on their own, but not the government itself, where are you going to keep the oils?
Mm-hmm.
Because every economy of a certain country depends on power, on energies. First energies, then productions, and then transport, and then everything. That is the foundations of economy. You need energy. That's why we say the Chinese ships are passing there because they are protected. That's why Larry Jani said no, the Strait of Hormuz is not closed, but it's naturally closed, which means only ships that they want to pass will pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution. You get your content of history and where the world is going. And that's why intellectual prowess is needed. You need the Namibian intellectual so that we can find ways. People who think deep, people who read history, and also people who understand the complicated system. Because there's always a saying to say, heavy is the head that is wearing the crown. You're just saying, why the king is not doing this? But the king is dealing with a lot of stuff. He just come under pressure. Why the president is not just printing money and giving us? When we were young, we just thought, why can't we print money and give it to you? Then you realize that the system is not operating like that. Why do people have to go to work instead of just come and print money? You know, you realize to say things are very complicated than what you think. Then it comes to the issue of energy. It comes to the issue of oil. We may want to do it. We may be cornered and we are not speaking. But when are we going to find ways, solutions to our problems? There is always a way. So just quickly, looking at the Villager newspaper, there's a beautiful story on top of the page of the Villager newspaper that show that the farmer transitioned from Mahangu to rice production. Somebody just decided to say, no, I think I must be different. From Mahangu production to rice production, read the Villager newspaper. It's a story by Loisa Shimi. Then you look at page 3. You understand that environments from development to operational spending prohibited. The office and ministries and agencies of government all must receive funds from national budget will be prohibited from moving money earmarked for capital projects to operational expenditure. Get that content and you'll be able to read the Villager newspaper and learn that content of capital project development. Page 4, celebrating 36 years of Namibia independence. And I'm telling you, this month, Namibia is not going to be a youth anymore. If it was a guy, you need to move out of your father's house. You are going to be 36 on the 21st of March and you need to get married. If you are a lady, they will start calling you young auntie. And you need to find the ways. And are we able to feed ourselves as a country? If you have to personify
Namibia. But there is a sale to say, to celebrate 36 years of Namibia independence, there is a sale from Woman Block. Then you'll be able to buy your parboiled rice, you'll be able to buy your fresh milk, you'll be able to buy other products. And get the time, look at page 4 and read the Villager newspaper. There is a story of Omas did not budget for the anti-corruption national strategy. Get that content and you'll be able to read. And while we are speaking about food production, page 6, Kavango Garden Project's benefits. Then you see there is a lot of spinach there that you see. Those spinach there that you see. And it stated that several schools in Kavango East and Kavango West region are establishing gardens and orchards to boost food production, improving learners' nutrition, and support school feeding program. One of the success stories is at Axel Mutuku Hamanyami Primary School in the Kavango East region, where thriving orchard now feeds learners, support the community, and generate income for school. It's a positive development, particularly the aspect of food security. And that of who is trying need to be supported. Why can the Ministry of Agriculture expand, give people technical know-how, and expand beyond school food production? And we'll be able to look at page 7. Is that learners age to stick to set goals? Learners must become strategists. They must stick on the plan. That is a story by Matthias Angala. That Education Minister Sanet Steenkamp has urged learners to set goals, regularly revisit them to ensure they achieve their ambitions. It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. And not to criticize, to say, rule must be applied. If we have to set goals, all must set goals too. Revisit them and implement them. If we are able, all of us, to do this, if Education Ministry have a plan, learners have a plan, all must have a plan, then following that plan should be an order of the day to everybody. Look at industrial briefs, where you will be able to see that Namibia to convey first industrial decarbonization workshop. There's also industrial briefs on speed hubs planned for Enias Nanyemba Roads, and Patrick Nandago to lead Public Service Commission. Patrick Nandago to be able to lead Namibia Public Service Commission for 5 years term, is from the 3rd March 2026. And that is what will happen moving forward. And when you look at page 9, you'll be able to get an opinionated paper, opinionated piece by Emalencia Shangli, that is looking at creating a mining industry that works for women of tomorrow. So dear listeners, that brought us to the end of our conversation. I will leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. From me, Devin Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around.